Atlantic skies and the sun shining as a 32-strong children's choir from the prestigious Lisbon Academy of Santa Cecilia sang the hallmark hymn, marking this journey to welcome Benedict XVI on Portuguese soil for the first time as Roman pontiff. Bem-vindo, Santo Padre, bem-vindo in Portugal, the children sang, while all the while the President of the Republic, Aníbal Cavaco da Silva, and his wife stood by standing together with the Patriarch of Lisbon, Cardinal José da Cruz Policarpo, in the presence of both state and church authorities. And there were speeches, beginning with the welcoming party.
Santo Padre, é com profundo júbilo que meu nome...
The President, who welcomed the Pope at the start of this journey, rife with meaning, he said, for Portugal, describing him as a messenger of hope at a time of uncertainty. You cannot understand Portugal, he stressed, without that privileged relationship with the Holy See, recalling how in the year 1079 the Pope of the time, Alexander III, recognized the new state of Portugal.
Agradeço-lhe, Senhor Presidente, as suas cordiais expressões de boas-vindas, dando-vos aos sentimentos e esperanças do bom povo português.
And the Roman pontiff replied, greeting all the Portuguese people, whatever their faith or religion, at an historic time for this beloved and ancient nation, which this year is celebrating the centenary of the proclamation of the Republic.
Venho como peregrino de Nossa Senhora de Fátima.
I come, he remarked, as a pilgrim to Our Lady of Fátima, referring to the apparitions which took place in the Marian Shrine almost a century ago, describing this moment as a window of hope that God opens when a man closes the door to him. Let's recall for a moment how this apostolic visit has two levels of interest. First of all, of Marian devotion, in continuity with the successors of Peter, Paul VI first and then John Paul II, who all travelled to Fátima on the date of the apparitions, on the 13th of May, the date when Our Lady appeared to three little shepherd children for the first time. Curiously, in Fátima, they're referring to this continuity with the papacy, dubbing him O Terceiro Papa, the third pope. The third pope, then, who in turn, in his speech, referred to the words of a well-known cardinal from the Salazar era, who once remarked, it was not the church that imposed Fátima, but it was Fátima that imposed itself on the church. But it was the second level of interest, the more official one, the Holy Father then highlighted, picking up on the president's, on that special historical connection between Portugal and the successor of Peter, noting how the people of this nation have since the earliest days of their nationhood looked to the successor of Peter for recognition of their existence as a people.
A visita que agora inicio sob o signo da esperança.
Insisting moments later that this visit is under the sign of hope, intended as a proposal of wisdom and mission, a reference to the theme the bishops of Portugal suggested for this visit. And going on to explain how from a wise vision of life and of the world, the just ordering follows. Benedict XVI then placed the church in a historical context once again, pointing out its openness to cooperating with anyone who does not marginalize or reduce to the private sphere the essential consideration of the human meaning of life. The point at issue, he insisted, is not an ethical confrontation between a secular and a religious system, so much as a question about the meaning that we give to freedom.
Mas de uma questão de sentido a qual se entrega a própria liberdade.
The Pope then went back to the landmark date of the Proclamation of the Republic, highlighting how by separating church and state, the Republican Revolution, which took place 100 years ago in Portugal, opened a new area of freedom for the Church, to which two concordats of 1940 and 2004 would give shape in cultural settings and ecclesial perspectives, profoundly marked by rapid change. The first morning appointment for the Holy Father in Lisbon was a perfect venue to begin a visit to a nation of seafarers. Down by the great river Tejo he went, to a place steeped in symbolism, relating to explorers and evangelizers. It's the Mosteiro do Jeronimus, the Monastery of St. Jerome, a masterpiece of flamboyant Gothic Manuelin architecture dating back to the 16th century, built to give thanks to Our Lady for the safe return of the man who discovered the passage to India, Vasco da Gama. By King Manuel I, who had a Marian devotion, famously paid for by a tax on spices, a reminder of the great maritime discoveries that laid the foundation of the modern world. Once located right on the waterfront, it was here the navigators and seamen of ships large and small once sailed in from the world over to seek hospitality and spiritual comfort. Today still a place of hospitality, a special one, given it's now the venue for all state ceremonial, such as the Pope's, who was received for the second time by the President and his wife, this time with pomp and circumstance, under a makeshift awning. First the playing of the national anthems, and the Pope smiled gently. Then the firing of cannons from a ship in the River Teju. And finally a military parade. This monastery is also still today a place to seek spiritual comfort, for within there is the ancient church by the name of Santa Maria de Blaime, or Saint Mary of Bethlehem, built before the monastery. And in the Pope went, past the main entrance with its complex shrine-like hierarchy of stone figures dominated by Henry the Navigator, past the tomb of Vasco da Gama, and into this ancient church, while all the while the choir sang a hymn in his honour, where, like Vasco da Gama, the Holy Father prayed, not through the night perhaps, nor before setting sail for India, but at the start of his first apostolic visit to Portugal to express his Marian devotion in the footsteps of his predecessors to the See of Peter. Alone he prayed then in this silent church dedicated to Mary, where tension of spatial design contrasts with detail and where great palm-shaped columns seem to grow into the ribbed vault. And when his prayer ended, he stepped out and admired the honey-coloured cloister of the monastery, with its quiet myriad of contrasting decorations relating to the perils of the high sea, sea monsters, and more prosaically, coils of rope. And there the Pope's thoughts may have just wandered to the achievements and preoccupations of the Portuguese age of discovery. This monastery, in fact, is a complex symbol of Portuguese history, a powerhouse of European exploration, which led to the building of the modern world, and more recently provided the venue for the signing of an European treaty. It was here, in fact, that the Treaty of Lisbon was signed back in 2007, and, as Benedict XVI knows, an occasion in which Portugal did not shy away from its Christian convictions. A favourite theme, this, of Europe for the Pope, he often highlights how this continent, if built exclusively on financial interests, is bound to fail. An issue he may have touched on in his private talks with the President when moments later, as protocol dictates, he called on him in his pink waterfront once royal residence with its terraced gardens, covering the short distance escorted by horses from the famous Portuguese School of Equestrian Art as the crowds cheered. An ideal place to look out on the very place where the caravels of the Portuguese sailors and missionaries were once moored before setting out to sea, bringing with them the faith of this nation the world over, a legacy still alive today in a world where some 200 million people speak Portuguese. With the Pope in Portugal, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.